Yale University is known for many things. 5 graduates became presidents. 19 wound up on the U.S. Supreme Court. Its history is obviously rich. But in the minds of many Americans, it may be best known for the Whiffin' Poofs, the nation's oldest and best-known a cappella group.
To the tables down at Maurice, to the place where Louis dwells, to the dear old temple bar we love so well. Sing the Whiffin' Poofs assembled with their glasses raised on high.
The Whiffin' Poofs, it's comprised of 14 men, all Yale seniors, who take time off to perform all over the country and world. Performance venues include Carnegie Hall, the White House, and Saturday Night Live. The Whiffin' Poofs are in St. Louis for performances tonight and tomorrow. I'll have more on that in just a couple of moments. But with me in studio are 3 performers who actually do double duty with the ensemble. Ian Miller is the tour manager and a St. Louisan. He's a Clayton High graduate. DJ Stanfill is the musical director, and Eric Aldana is the business manager. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, happy to be here.
Oh, you sound so good. Ian, let me start with you with the most pressing issue of the day, because many people have asked me the question, what the heck is a Whiffin' Poof?
What is a Whiffin' Poof? That's a great question. We get it a lot. I know there's a lot of stories that are floating around, but the story I'll tell is when the group was founded in 1909, there was a show running on Broadway that a couple of them had seen, and there was a kind of a stand-up routine where a guy would tell this, you know, fish tale about the Whiffin' Poof that lives underneath the ice in a pond, and you have to cut a hole in the ice, stick a block of cheese in it, and then it'll pop its head out and get stuck. And they called that a Whiffin' Poof, and, you know, they thought that was funny, and they, you know, turned it into the name of the group.
Well, of course, all of this was conceived in a bar, so yes. I suppose that answers a lot of the questions.
Oh, yeah.
Eric, does Maurice still exist in New Haven?
Yeah, Maurice still exists. We sing there every Monday that we are on campus. We tour a lot of the year, and so, you know, when we're gone, sometimes we'll either have last year's group of Whiffin' Poofs perform there. But yeah, we still sing there and try and maintain our ties there and tradition of singing at Maurice.
Last year's group of Whiffin' Poofs, they're all over the place. Are there Whiffin' Poofs in waiting, DJ, to replace you guys?
Actually, yes, there are. We just recently chose the next class of 14 Whiffin' Poofs. So they will start their terms as Whiffin' Poofs in August when we finish up our world tour.
Ian, tell me about this selection process. I mean, how did you all get involved in it?
Yeah, well, most of us, there are 15 a cappella groups at Yale. I actually brought mine here last year. And that's
Shades,
for,
right?
Yes, the Shades. Mm-hmm. And so that's for freshman through junior year. And there's co-ed, and there's all male and all female. And some at the end of that, you know, those who want to will audition for the senior groups. There's a female group, Women Rhythm, which is our counterpart, and the Whiffin' Poofs. And, you know, and it's just really a short audition, and that's it. You know, we're not allowed to take in outside context because we know most of these guys. And from that, we choose 14. You know, we have them sing a solo and do musicality, you know, warm-ups and ear, you know, pitch matching and things like that.
Eric, did you go to Yale anticipating that you would be a Whiffin' Poof or wanting to be a Whiffin' Poof?
I did not, actually. It's funny. Well, our senior year of high school was the year, actually, that the Whiffin' Poofs were on The Sing-Off, the show on NBC that gained them a lot of fame, at least recently. And I saw them and thought it was ridiculous and kind of crazy. I wasn't a singer at the time either. But when I got to Yale my freshman year, there's just such a vibrant campus culture surrounding a cappella. Like Ian was mentioning, there are 15 groups of all sorts of genres, ranging from jazz to gospel. And I just thought it was a really cool community to be a part of and signed up for that. And yeah, that's I guess how I got here.
DJ, I imagine the competition is fairly intense with all these groups. I guess the Whiffin' Poofs stand out there at the top of the tower.
Right. It's also kind of regarded as more of a, you know, less focused on music and more focused on like tradition and this longevity of this amazing like kind of society-like group of people that has existed for the past 106 years.
You essentially give up your senior year in the sense that this is pretty much all you do, correct?
Right. And yeah, there's a lot of competition and, you know, obviously people want to travel and sing for a year. So it becomes, you know, a lot of the the feeder groups, as they're called, the 15 a cappella groups, you know, a lot of men try to vie to get into those 14 slots every year.
And nowadays, we actually, most of us take our senior year off from school. We're not in classes to do our traveling.
I wish I could have done that.
Not bad.
And then we'll do our senior year next year. So it's a big commitment. And when you audition, you actually sign a contract saying you will take the slot and you'll do it.
Is it really a full-time deal? I mean, is this all you do?
Well, a lot of us, we are based in New Haven still. Mm-hmm. So we travel and we go back and forth. When we all have apartments or places to live on campus, and some of us are working part-time jobs when we're there to, you know, help pay the rent. But, I mean, this is our first commitment, and we have some busy, you know, busy weeks, and it's, if not every day, every other day, we have a concert usually.
Well, Eric, you're the business manager, and doing this sort of thing, traveling and performing, requires a little bit of moolah, if you will.
Sure, absolutely.
How do you finance all of this?
Yeah, so we actually don't receive any funding from the university. We're entirely self-sustaining. We make... we are able to pay for our plane tickets and train tickets and that sort of thing through the concerts that we sing, through ticket sales, CD sales. You were saying, at least from my position and DJ as well, who's musical directing, it's entirely student run. So there isn't any faculty involved in it. Because there's 100% turnover every year, there's always new leadership, new members, and so it's a really great learning experience to, you know, kind of run an organization just as, you know, 21, 22-year-olds, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
DJ, as the musical director, I have to assume that you came to Yale, went to Yale, anticipating doing what you're doing now.
Right. Yes, I did. I knew I would do something along the lines of music. I came from an instrumental background and sang a lot. Came to Yale not sure if I would do a cappella or not, but as Eric was mentioning, there's such a vibrant a cappella community there. So I was drawn in from the get-go. This is a logical extension of how I started my Yale career.
We want to hear. We've got some selections that we want to hear of you gentlemen singing. I'll go back to you, DJ, with regard to what we're going to hear first.
Sure. This is a fun little number called You Are the Sunshine of My Life, originally by Stevie Wonder, and today St. Louis native Ian Miller will be soloing.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, let's listen to You Are the Sunshine of My Life, or at least part of it.
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around. You are the apple of my eye. Forever you'll stay in my heart. I feel like this is the beginning. Though I've loved you for a million years, and if I thought our love was ending, I'd find myself drowning in my own tears.
You are the sunshine of my life. Ian Miller, one of our guests in studio, and the tour director for the Whiffen Poofs, soloing right there. Mm-hmm. Sounds very good. I hate to end it. I'd like to keep it running.
Well, people have a chance to hear that and many more at our concerts this week.
Let me remind folks exactly where you're going to be tonight, by the way. They have two St. Louis performances scheduled, 7:30 tonight at Washington University's Music Center. That's on Trinity. And tomorrow at 7 o'clock here at Umzalit Grand Center as part of the Kitchen Sing series. More information on these performances at our website. Ian, let me come back to you with regard to your repertoire, because You Are the Sunshine of My Life is just one facet. You're all over the place with your music.
Oh, we are. I mean, the group is 106 years old, and we have, you know, a bunch of traditional Yale songs that actually other groups and other colleges would sing, you know, back in the day, including the Whiff and Poof song, which we heard a clip of, which is our traditional one. But we have a number from that are all chorale style to, you know, contemporary ones. We have a song by Sam Smith that's playing on the radio now that we cover, and everything in between. And actually, our arrangements are all done by Whiff and Poof members, and they get archived and passed down. So each year, we kind of get to pick and choose a selection of what we want to do.
Eric, do you sound your group, 2015 group, sound like previous groups, or was it a different kind of sound?
I think there are elements of both. You know, we because we transition every single year, we're able to sing the kind of music that we really want to sing. And again, the great thing about having so many different a cappella groups on campus is you have people coming from different backgrounds of singing, again, like jazz or, you know, operatic singing. And so each individual member of the Whiff and Poofs brings what they like to sing to the group. And so when we're deciding what songs we want to arrange, we have a range of different genres to choose from. So, you know, every group of Whiff and Poofs has their own kind of particular sounds that they like to do.
DJ, as the musical director, are you the decider when it comes to what exactly it is you will sing?
Yes, a lot of that.
Uh-oh.
but I like to kind of crowdsource it, too, whenever we make some sort of larger decision on, like, what are we singing in this very important concert, et cetera, mm-hmm. kind of send out a straw poll to the group and see what they want to sing, whether it be, like, specific requests or kind of genre requests, like, I want to sing jazz or I want to sing top 40 radio, that sort of thing.
When you come to a place like St. Louis, do you kind of fashion your program at all for the community in which you're going to be singing?
Yeah, exactly. So for our public concerts, because there's a whole variety of people, we like to include kind of a whole slew of everything we do, a little yeah. sampling of everything. But for other, like older audiences, we do our more traditional stuff. For younger college audiences, we tend to do more of our like Sam Smith, One Direction type of repertoire.
Uh-huh. I was surprised. We were together at a private reception at your grandparents' house in last night. I was surprised, and I think it was you who said that Cole Porter, the famous composer, was a Whiff and Poof
he
at one
was.
Time.
He was in 1913, the fourth class of Whiff and Poofs. Yeah, and we actually sing some of his songs that he wrote.
Well, I would think so. But that did catch me by surprise. Any other famous people that we would know?
Sure. I don't know off the top of my head.
Prescott Bush was one. Just a number of musical directors on Broadway.
Yeah, and they just go in all sorts of places. We had our 105th anniversary in the fall, and a bunch of people came back to New Haven, and we were all singing together, you know, at Maury's.
I'm guessing that most of them did not necessarily go on to musical careers, but this was just kind of a stepping stone along the way.
Yeah, it's kind of a sampling. I mean, even within our group, we have some who are looking to be performers, some who are looking to work in the music industry, if not as singers, and then some who are not at all, and this is really just an extended hobby, you know?
Well, I know last evening, a number of them said they were political science majors, which may be the first mistake they've made in their academic careers. We'll see. Having talked with Claire McCaskill and what's going on in the political world,
right.
Who knows? But maybe they'll change things. I have to take a break. Let's do this now. We are talking about Yale University's famous Whiff and Poofs Choral Ensemble. With me in studio are three members of that group. You just heard from Ian Miller, who is the tour manager. DJ Stanfill is the musical director, and Eric Aldana is business manager for the group. They all sing as part of this 14-person ensemble. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk more and hear more music. If you'd like to become a part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you prefer to send a tweet, we'll take that at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with three members of the Whiff and Poofs. That's that a cappella ensemble from Yale University. With me in studio, Eric Aldana, business manager for the group, also one of the singers, as is DJ Stanfill, the musical director, and Ian Miller, that is, who is the tour manager. Ian, I'll come back to you with regard to the kind of show that you put on, because it's more than just singing. There's a little shtick that goes on.
Oh, there definitely is. And I think people are often surprised and delighted to know that we do have fun, you know. We tell jokes, we do skits sometimes, and we enjoy ourselves. Our new album that we just recorded is called We Laugh and Sing, and it's a pretty accurate representation of what we do. But people, because we come in the tails and the white tie, and we have this whole tradition behind us, and I think people don't know quite what to expect. But they're often, I think, happy when they see us in concert.
You know? And we should point out, because this is the way your organization is funded, that the CD would be on sale
yes.
at the various venues in which you will be performing.
Mm-hmm. As well as on our website, www.whiffandpoofs.com.
All right. Now, you're getting ready for a worldwide tour. How many continents, Eric?
So the day after commencement at the university, we leave for Iceland, and we... Wow. And 3 months later, we end in New Zealand, and we hit about 25 countries in between, spanning, you know, from Europe to Africa, Australia, Asia. great opportunity for the guys, and one of the big reasons why we decided to join the group.
How is this all set up? I mean, are you invited by the various countries or organizations within the countries?
Yeah, well, luckily, you know, when you have a group as old as it is, there are a lot of connections that you're able to reach out to year after year, but also a lot of it is just a lot of cold calling and emails just to various, schools, hotels, venues, potential sponsors around the world who would, offer to put us up in various cities.
Yeah, DJ, this must be complicated for you because I'm sure, as you mentioned a moment ago, trying to fashion what you do to your particular audience, if you've got international audiences, that is a complication.
Right. And oftentimes, I think this summer we'll do the same, but oftentimes we're asked to sing a particular song for a particular school. For example, we might go to China and be asked to sing a more traditional Chinese song, learn it like an hour before a concert and sing it at a public concert. For the most part, we're lucky in that most countries and most people that see us worldwide really want to see that kind of traditional American collegiate sound, which we can definitely provide.
This has got to be terrifically exciting. I don't know how many of you of your group have ever traveled overseas, but I mean, this is
nothing to parallel this. I mean, a number of us have traveled with our own groups or, on our own, but I mean, I think all of us realize joining the group that we would never have this opportunity to travel the world and not on our dime. You know, we work for it with our singing, but it's not out of our pocket.
How much does it cost? I'll go to the business manager for this. And what does it cost to take 14 people? And are you just 14 or did you bring...
Yeah, well, there are just 14 of us. I mean, it depends every year on what countries people decide to go to. There are just 14 singers, but the Whiff and Poofs, they pay for all of the airfare, the lodging, and a lot of times we actually get comped at places we're staying at, or we'll stay with, alumni or hosts around the world who will put us up in their homes for free, which is also like one of the best way to get to know, the locations we go to, just through interacting with the people directly.
And during your domestic tours, you take care of your accommodations because you perform in the home city of every one of your members. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so at least one person has got some place to stay.
With some brave parents.
Let's take a call. We've got Chris who wants to join the conversation. Let's bring him in. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air with the Whiff and Poofs.
All right. Thank you so much for taking my call. My name is Chris Thomas, and my organization is called Acapella Connection, and we provide opportunities for kids to perform acapella music in St. Louis. And so my question for the Whiff and Poofs is, do you guys do any sort of youth outreach, whether it's locally or nationally or anything of that matter? And I'll hang up and take the answer. Thank you.
DJ is pointing toward Eric, so I guess you're going to take the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Just outreach in general to a lot of different areas. Every year we try and do at least one kind of big ticket fundraiser, either in New York or around New Haven, just for various arts related activities or organizations. If you're interested and ever have, I know that next year we actually have a Whiff and Poof from St. Louis in next year's group that we just recently tapped. And if you're interested in getting in touch, you can email us at just whiffandpoofs@yale.edu. That's definitely a big part of what we do, is going around and performing for schools pushing for music education, especially with a cappella, which, when you just need voices, it's not very expensive to have to buy instruments, and that's great for youth in schools as well.
You really are ambassadors, Ian, on several fronts, that not only as you make an international trip or go from city to city, but in terms of fostering the whole a cappella, the a cappella thing.
It's a very unique thing. I think that's what we've all found, is that it's something unlike anything else, this weird craze. And it's a craze on all college campuses nowadays. You have the movies, Pitch Perfect, and you have, shows like Glee that are kind of highlighting it. It's fun.
Let's hear another one of your numbers. And DJ, I'll go back to you. You Are the Sunshine of My Life was number one. What is number two? Do we have?
Sure. This might be more familiar to top 40 listeners out there. This is Sam Smith's I'm Not the Only One, today soloed by Jackson Thea.
Ooh. 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 Do, 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 do. can't believe you let me down. But the proof's in the way it hurts. For months on end I've had my doubts, denying every tear. I wish this would be over now, but I know that I still need you here. You say
that is such a mellow, easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy listening to yourselves?
Yeah. Oh, well, we sing so often that I try to listen to other music, frankly. But I love listening to everyone else, like when they're soloing. I mean, because what you think about is if each of us are soloing in a concert, that means 13 out of 14 times you're listening, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really a great opportunity to listen to each other sing different songs.
How about you, Eric? Do you enjoy listening to yourselves?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the album that we just released, we're all really proud of it. We put a lot of work into it the past, you know, couple of months. So every so often it'll come up on my like iPod shuffle. And DJ could probably talk a little bit more about the experience recording it. But it's something we're proud of. And so, of course, I'm happy to listen to it.
Well, go ahead, DJ. The ball's in your court.
Sure. Yeah. This last fall, we spent recording a lot of our CD in December. There were just like 3 weeks blocked off, 2 weeks, where we just went into the home studio of this a cappella guy named Ed Boyer, who does a lot of work with Glee, The Sing-Off, that sort of thing. So he's a very, very prestigious a cappella mixer engineer. So we just went to his house, sat down and recorded our parts together. And over the course of like 2 months, we got all the parts together, all the arrangements together, all Whiff and Poof arrangements, past and present. And yeah, we put it together in about 2 months and shipped and sealed it by March. And yeah, it's available for purchase.
So this was recorded in a home, a private home?
A home is a loose term for it. Ed is—he's really professional. So he has all the hardware, all the software, and he's been doing it, you know, 9 to 5 for years and years and years. So,
what about rehearsal? How much time do you spend rehearsing?
It depends on what time of the year it is. As Eric mentioned, we're traveling so frequently that sometimes we don't really have time to rehearse weekly or at all. Yeah, this is one of those times, but for example, at the beginning of the year, we had an hour-long performance 1 week into this group's formation. So that was about 7 to 9 hours of rehearsal a day.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it chilled out to about 6 hours a week for a while, and then we traveled. So, you know, it's where we can fit it in.
And it's funny, because there are those who want us to rehearse more in the group. There's those who don't want to do any rehearsing. Mm-hmm. And so it's the kind of DJ's job to balance, you know, because we don't, to maintain our musical excellence, and we try to keep adding new songs over the course of the year to kind of keep things fresh.
How about getting along? I mean, you've got 14... people, the different personalities, a common interest to be sure, but sometimes when you're spending a lot of time together, there are tempers flare, whatever.
Yeah, and especially when we're in such close quarters. I mean, we're often several of us to a room wherever we're staying. I mean, we try to keep things open. We just, our new policy is being direct and considerate with each other. You know, to just put everything on the table because especially when there's late nights and there's early flights and people are tired and people get, you know, sick or whatever, you know, tensions do rise. But I think at the end of the day, it's a really great group of guys. There's no, you know, bad egg, I don't think, in the group, and everyone, you know, gets along pretty well.
There are various traditions, obviously, within the tradition of the Whiff and Poofs. What are some of them, Eric? I'll ask you in terms of that might be more difficult to deal with in 2015 that they were dealing with in 1909.
Sure. Well, as far as like traditions go, like we have a lot of kind of, you know, fun traditions. Like, for example, each of us is given a middle name when we're selected into the group. That's kind of a joke. So, for example, Ian's middle name is Ian, who wants to be a Miller, which probably maybe not the best one to, as an example, but that's something that we still do. My middle name is Popocatapetl, which is always traditionally the name of the business manager, as referencing the volcano in South America. I don't know exactly what that story is. I think it's because the business manager is always fuming, maybe. DJs is the pitch pipe because he's the musical director. But yeah, that's one of the traditions that we do.
And a lot of our traditions are associated with Maury's too. As you said, we sing there every week, and there's cups that we pass around, you know, full of different colored drinks, and we all take a sip and, you know, sing, you know, the cup song, all these things that get passed down.
Okay, that brings me to another one of the pressing questions of the day. To the tables down at Maury's, to the place where Louis dwells. Who's Louis?
Well, yeah, Louis was one of the bartenders, I believe, or the owner, manager at Maury's back at the time when the Whiff and Poofs were founded. And he was really kind of the first patron of the group, and without him, they wouldn't have existed. So it's kind of a tribute to him. And Maury's has actually changed locations over, you know, the course of the years, but yeah, it's still in our songs, still in our memories. Yeah.
Interesting fact about Louis, actually, is there's a place in New Haven called Louis's Lunch, and it's often believed that Louis invented the hamburger. Which is, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I think that was invented here or something.
Yeah, they're very persnickety about it. You can't have ketchup on their hamburgers. I don't know much about it.
We have time for one more selection, so I'll go back to you, DJ. What is number three for us?
Sure. This one's also more contemporary. This is One Direction's Steal My Girl, soloed by Elia Heifetz.
All righty.
Want the same things, we dream the same dreams, alright. Alright. I got it all, cause she is the one. Her mom calls me love, her dad calls me son, alright.
You're all into it right now. You've all got the beat. Do you tend to favor, Ian, more contemporary songs?
That's a good question. You know, I just love the variety. There's some beautiful classics we do where there isn't a soloist and it's just the 14 of us singing. But I think it's also great to keep it that, you know, that anyone in the audience will know at least one of our songs, you know, whether that's a jazz standard or whether that's a top 40 hit.
And how about, Eric, how about the solo part of it? Are you totally comfortable stepping up forward as you do?
Oh, well, you know, at the beginning, it's always like you're always a little intimidated, especially when you have all this, you know, the history and the weight behind the group, and you realize, you know, you're representing 106 years of tradition. But we sing about 230 to 250 concerts every single year. So by this time, you know, you're pretty used to it, and all the nerves have gone away.
An interesting thing a friend of mine who was in the group last year told me was like, by the end of the experience, you kind of get over the stage fright, which hasn't happened for me quite yet. But I mean, we were singing for so many different people. We sang for President Clinton and Colin Powell at the Kennedy Center just last week. And we're all over the place, so we're learning.
And the reaction, DJ, I'm sure, is always the same because it's such a popular and such a competent and professional group.
Right. We try to make it as palatable to as many people as possible wherever we go. So I think we've been pretty successful this year and had a good time while doing it.
Anything special we should know about tonight's performance? Anything unusual or different?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's just going to be a great time. And it's a beautiful space there at WashU. And, you know, as I said, it'll be fun. There'll be some humor, and you'll get to hear different things.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been to St. Louis, the group has, so it's nice to be back here. Too.
We're looking forward to it. And do you always wind up with the Whiff and Poof song?
Yes, every concert.
Right. I'm just looking at my notes here, and I see that the Whiff and Poof song has been covered by Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up listening to Bing Crosby sing it, and Louis Armstrong also. Mm-hmm. So there's your variety right there. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I'm looking forward to hearing you again tonight. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful show. Ian Miller, thank you so much for being with us. Eric Aldana, great to see you. And DJ Stanfill, thank you for being with us. Have a great concert tonight.
Thanks so much.
That's going to do it for us for today. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the 150th anniversary commemorating events in Springfield, Illinois, surrounding President Abraham Lincoln's funeral. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
Have mercy on such as